As you probably all know, the Bible is full of metaphors and analogies and all kinds of figures of speech. And they're there for a purpose. God wrote it, wanted it written that way. And there are many lessons we can learn from those metaphors and analogies and so on. For example, Satan is depicted as a roaring lion in the scriptures. And you might wonder, why would Satan be depicted as a roaring lion? Well, we're going to find out that the attributes of a lion and the attributes of Satan have a lot in common. They really do. So what I'm going to do today is just go a little deeper into that analogy and show you what Peter meant when he said that. And when I thought of giving this message, I went online and I wondered how many other people have given messages similar to this. And there are quite a few. And interestingly, they were all different. And mine's different, too. So it's interesting how people use the different analogies and metaphors. So let's turn to the scripture which I referred to, written by the Apostle Peter, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. And in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, Peter talks about Satan being like a lion. So we're going to read that verse. 1 Peter 5, 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And of course, we know who Satan wishes to devour. It's you and me, isn't it? That's his prey, you and me. Now, this analogy isn't absolute. I mean, every analogy breaks down. That's the nature of an analogy, is that it breaks down eventually. And this one does. But there are some really good lessons we can learn from this analogy. And you probably know very well, you've heard through the years, that we are in a battle in this present world. And who runs this world? You know, there's a Protestant song, "This is my Father's world." Well, they don't really know what they're saying, because this is not God's world in the sense of world being the society, not the earth itself. But Satan is the god of this world, and we all know that. And he's the architect of the society that we live in. So what are the strengths, some of the strengths of a lion that relate to Satan himself? Well, the first one I want to bring out is, like a lion, Satan uses stealth and cunning to capture his prey. Stealth and cunning. And as I told you, I went online to see how other people covered this subject. And one fellow, and I won't mention the fellow, but one fellow mentioned that a lion is very fast. He can run like the wind. I don't know if he said that, but he indicated that. But the fact is, of the cat family, the lion speed is near the bottom. They're not very fast compared to other cats, large cats. But they can run fast enough. You know, a man can run about 27 miles an hour. That would be a sprinter. And that wouldn't be Skip Miller or Paul Smith or Jim Butler or me. That would be a sprinter, you know. I don't think I can run that fast. I don't think Skip can either. And Dennis, I know he can't. Anyway, a man, that's about the fastest a man can run is about 27 miles an hour. And I got different readings on lions, but some people think lions are faster than they really are. They can run about somewhere about 30, 32 miles an hour. And of course, they could catch up with a man, but you could give him a pretty good race if you're a sprinter. But a cheetah can run 60 miles an hour. And guess what? A lion never fools with a cheetah in a race, because a cheetah can run twice as fast as a lion. So I think that's one of the reasons a lion uses the technique that he does in hunting, and I'll mention that later. But we were talking about how a lion uses stealth. A lion will will be in the tall grass right next to the herd of animals that he's going to attack. And he sneaks in that grass, and he won't let any, he tries his best to not let any of the animals see him. And if they do happen to see him, the lion will just freeze like he's a statue. And he won't move a muscle until he figures that no one has detected him. Or her, actually, because the female lion actually is the one that does most of the hunting. So that's his tactic. He's hidden. And he doesn't want us to know he's there, speaking of Satan and the lion. The lion doesn't want the prey to know that he's there, he or she. And Satan doesn't want us to know he's there. In Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 2, you don't have to turn there if you don't want. I put it in my notes. Says this: And you he made alive, you being the church, you and me, and he is God the Father of Jesus Christ, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked. According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, who's he talking about there? Who's the prince of the power of the air? Well, we know that's Satan. And that's the way he uses stealth. He broadcasts. Mr. Armstrong used to like to use that analogy that Satan broadcasts. He broadcasts in attitudes and such things. And if you're too involved in the world, then you pick up on that and sort of adopt these attitudes of the world. So that's the way Satan uses stealth. You don't know. Let's face it, Satan is right here in a sense, although his power, I'm certain, is diminished because the Spirit of the Father and the Son are here too. So, but out in the world, Satan is always there. He's the prince of the power of the air. The next thing I would like to bring out is that lions are opportunists. They attack the weak and the isolated because they are easy prey. They attack the weak and the isolated because they are easy prey. The very fact that an animal is isolated from the herd shows what? It shows that he's foolish. He's foolish if he gets away from the herd. He should be as close as he can be to the others, because there's some safety there. If the opportunity arises, the lion will pick out some animal that's separated a little bit from the other herd for many reasons. Number one, he's foolish. The lion knows he's foolish because he's out there by himself, and he shouldn't be. And he's isolated, so he can attack him and have him for dinner. So how does that relate to us? Well, one way it relates to us is that we should not be isolated from the church, from the members. We should not be isolated from each other. That means that we should do our best to be, in services as much as we can, because we need that fellowship and that that safety, so to speak, of fellowshipping, talking with other church members. That's an important aspect of our growth. We also need to make sure that we're not isolated from the Father and the Son also. So we need to build that bond with the Father and Son, and the bond with each other, because there's strength in being close to others. There really is. If you notice that, you've probably noticed seeing pictures on TV of National Geographic pictures and so on of a herd that are grazing. They're always vigilant. Every once in a while, they'll stop grazing and raise their head and look around, and you can tell they're always listening. And so they're always vigilant, and that's a lesson that we need to learn too. Speaking of fellowship and the importance of it, in 1 John 1, verse 3, and again, if you want to turn there, you can, but it's not necessary. 1 John 1, 3, that which you have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Who's the us? The Father and the Son. And truly our fellowship is, actually I shouldn't have said that, it's the next line says it. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. So the point I wanted to make is fellowship is kind of a three-way street. We have fellowship with each other, we have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And that's the importance of being here in church services when you can be, to have that fellowship with each other and with the Father and Son. The third point I'd like to bring out is the lion is extremely powerful. Once he has a good hold on his prey, they seldom are able to escape. The lion is extremely powerful. Actually, that's why a lion is not that fast. A grown lion weighs about 400 pounds. Can you imagine if you weighed 400 pounds, how fast you could run? Not very fast. I mean, they're big, they're powerful, they're muscular. They have claws about this long, about 3 inches long. And they call the lion the king of the jungle. And the reason they call him the king of the jungle is because he's not afraid of anyone. He doesn't care who it is. He's not afraid of another animal. Do you think a lion would attack an elephant? Yes, he would. He could. They know how to take down an elephant, and it's kind of gory. I don't know if I want to be too graphic with it, but the way they take down an elephant, that more than one has to attack an elephant, and the lion one of the lions jumps on top of the elephant's back, and they gnaw into his spine, and they crush his spine. And once his spine is crushed, he can't move, he can't run, he's done for. And that's the way they take down an elephant. So say the analogy goes on that Satan also is very powerful. You know, we fool ourselves if we think we can fool Satan. You just can't do it. He's more brilliant than we are, and we can't fool him. He's strong and he's powerful. So our spiritual strength, you know, comes from being close to God, the Father and the Son, and close to each other. Through the years, I've seen so many people stumble and eventually leave the church, and it's always a sad thing to see. But some of the things that I've noticed through the years that causes people to stumble is personality differences. Differences between personality. You know, we're all different, and we don't all get along with each other in the same manner. But we have to understand the differences of people and overlook some things that, you know, maybe irritate us. And also, through the years, doctrinal differences or doctrinal disputes have caused people to get an attitude, and that will take them out of the church. And that's kind of a silly thing, because the basic doctrines of the church are solid. You know, it's the picky things that people get concerned about, and we shouldn't get concerned about picky things. Another thing is jealousy among people. For some reason, people get jealous of another member. I don't know if I mentioned this before, but years and years ago, way long back in the 60s, there was a man in the church, and he wanted to be ordained. I mean, he was not ordained, but he wanted to be. And he did different things to make you think he knew just about everything about the Bible and about God and everything else. And as time went on, another man was ordained instead of him. And that eventually took him out of the church. He stuck around for a little while, and then he left. So don't get caught up in picky things like that. I'd like to read Ephesians 6, verse 11 to 12, and I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. And the reason I want to read it in that translation is it uses some good descriptive words that I like. Ephesians 6 and verse 11, all of Ephesians 6 is talking about the spiritual battle that we have. And of course, we know that Satan is the captain of that unseen world. Ephesians 6:11 in the New Living Translation says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. I think the King James says the wiles, but it means strategies. And Satan, he has lots of strategies, just like a lion. He has different ways of doing things. Verse 12 says, for you are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against the rulers, evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. And so that makes it, the New Living Translation makes it pretty plain that our enemy is not one that we can see, but one that is part of that unseen world. So it's important to understand that that our enemy is not flesh and blood, but it is a the spirit world that is our enemy, and Satan himself, and his demons, of course. The next thing I would like to, the point I would like to bring out is lions are very patient when they hunt. You know, a lion will be in the tall grass, hidden, and they'll wait and wait and wait until they find a prey that's kind of dumb and isolated, and then they will attack. But they will take as much time as necessary to do that. Like I was saying earlier, when they're walking in the grass and they detect someone has, or some animal has seen them, they will freeze. And they'll stay there as long as possible to make sure that they haven't been detected. Someone who gave this message, a similar message, made the statement, well, I can't remember the one I wanted to bring out. I'll just pass that up. It doesn't add to it anyway. So anyway, the point is that we need to understand that that's the way Satan works. He's patient. And sometimes when we have a problem, it can graduate into a bigger problem, and Satan will wait. He said he will egg you on and me on until that becomes a problem, and then he will make an inroad. So Satan never takes a vacation. He never takes a vacation. He's always on the job. Now, I thought of what I was going to mention, that one fellow said that, made this statement. He said, a lion never sleeps. He said, Satan, like a lion, never sleeps. And that statement is only half true. A lion sleeps 18 to 20 hours a day. And you know why they do that? Because they're lazy. They're lazy. I've read the, you know, from websites from people who study such things, and they said lions are lazy. They like to sleep. They sleep 18 to 20 hours every day. And that's why they normally hunt at night when they can't be seen. They're creatures of darkness, like Satan, and they hunt at night. And I know you've probably seen the TV videos where lions are hunting in the daytime. Well, that's the exception to the rule. The photographers were lucky to get those pictures. The last point I'd like to bring out is a lion is designed to destroy and kill without mercy. A lion was created that way. They, you know, like I said, they have these giant long claws. They're very muscular. They're strong. They're as strong as can be. They have the bite of their jaw is so tremendous it can crush bones easily. And that, like I told you, that's the way they take down an elephant. And so the point I make, don't ever expect any mercy from Satan, because he apparently is made for the same reason, to destroy and kill like a lion. You know, a lion, if they see a young baby animal, you think they'll let that animal go and feel sorry for that little animal that's kind of dumb? No. they will grab that little one and kill him. And if they kill a mother who has a pride there, they don't care. They will kill the mother. In other words, they have an attitude similar to Satan's attitude. Satan doesn't care. Satan doesn't care how miserable you are. As a matter of fact, he rejoices when you're miserable. So don't expect any mercy from Satan. So that's the last one I wanted to bring out. There are probably many other analogies you could make, but I'm just going to leave it at that. So what can we do to protect ourselves from this devil, the Satan, who is like a lion, like a roaring lion? By the way, I didn't mention, why does a lion roar? A lion does not roar when it attacks someone. A lion roars for only two reasons. Number one, a male lion will roar, and that is a signal to the other male lions that this is my pride and you better stay away if you know what's good for you. And the only other time a lion will roar is when they have made a kill, and they roar for some reason. And to me, that doesn't sound too smart, because that's a signal to all the other scavenger animals that are around, and it's, well, let's go see what happened here. Maybe lunch is served. So anyway, that's the only time. I wonder why Peter described Satan as a roaring lion, because Satan doesn't usually roar to let you know he's there. But anyway, human beings kind of are affected by loud noises, so maybe that's why. So how can we be safe from Satan, who's like a roaring lion? Well, the answer is to get the services of another lion. Now, what lion would that be? How about the Lion of Judah? Let's turn to Revelation 5. And read about the Lion of Judah. It says, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and out on the back, sealed with seven seals. I don't know if we read that this morning, in the first message or not. I can't remember. It's been a long time ago, Howard. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or in the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep, because the Lion of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its seven seals. So Jesus is also depicted as a lion, but he's much more powerful than Satan the lion by far. So that's what we need to rely on Jesus Christ to protect us from the strategies of Satan. So to conclude, let me just say this. We know that Satan is attempting to cause us to sin and not be worthy of our reward. And like I say, he never sleeps, never takes vacation. He's always doing that. That's his job. He was created. He wasn't originally created to do that, but he brought it on himself to be transformed into that wicked situation. So we need to ask help from the Lion of Judah to be aware of the tactics of Satan, the lion.